This is TWiT.
Line two is Nathan in Spearfish, South Dakota. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, Leah. How's it going?
It's great. How are you?
Doing well. Just enjoying the cold.
How cold is it? Just out of curiosity.
Today, the high is 28. We haven't been above freezing for the past 5 weeks.
I don't know if I could take that. Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah. The snow's fun, but not when you can't go out and play in it.
I'm sympathetic. It's been really cold here. I think it's almost in the 40s now. So
I see you wearing a sweater.
I'm very chilly. What can I do for you, Nathan?
So I'm kind of wondering if there's any course of action when you discover a company is not protecting your passwords.
Oh, man, I wish there were. In Europe, there is the GDPR.
Right.
Put some real onus on companies to be secure. But here in the United States, all you can do is complain and tell the world which company's not protecting your passwords.
So I'm a chiropractor, and it's the National Board of Examiners.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You're doing them a favor if you go. I don't know if you have, but go to them and say, guys, you need to hire somebody. Because are you covered under HIPAA? I mean, because HIPAA has that's a very strict federal law about patient records. And if
that's a good question. I doubt it. I don't know that they maintain much information other than they've got my name, my address, my board scores, right?
Yeah, they really ought to protect you.
Right, but they should not.
But it's not patient records. Okay, so it's not HIPAA then.
No, but they should hold the same standard, you'd think.
I wish we did have a better standard. And there has been conversation about creating some laws here in the United States that would require better security. Companies that, you know, don't follow good security practices are going to get breached. And I know, you know, I mean, in a way now you've told the world everybody should go after if there's any hackers listening, I mean, I don't know if your board scores are worth anything, but, you know, they hack because they can. Four colleges, including the very well-respected Oberlin College, just had to send a notice out to students saying because a bad guy hacked into these colleges, they all use the same software for their administration and got students' admissions records, including whether they'd been admitted and all the notes on their file, and they were offering them to students. They sent out emails. The bad guys sent out emails to students saying, hey, for a Bitcoin, which is like $3,000, for a Bitcoin, I'll give you all the information in your admissions record. I mean, this is horrific. But it almost doesn't even make the news anymore. Why? Because it happens so often. And
my concern is more the staff that have access.
Oh, well, that's another matter entirely.
I use 1Password to generate random passwords, but most people don't. And so if they've got your email, they've got your password, they can get into your Amazon account or your bank account, whatever. So that's kind of my big concern.
Well, of course, always use different passwords on every site. If you've been reusing the password on the chiropractic board site, don't. You know, create a long, strong password for that and one that's not used anywhere else. I'm guessing that if they're not protecting your passwords, they don't have two-factor authentication available.
Oh, no.
You know, you'd be doing them a favor saying, hey, look, I'd like to share some information with you about protection. Be nice. Give them good reasons why they do want to protect it, the risks. That's, I think, the best thing you can do.
I was looking up the National Standards of Information Technology has some guidelines.
Yes, NIST.
Almost no one follows,
yes.
Right?
No, but NIST guidelines are good. They're kept up to date, and our tax dollars pay for it. So, yeah, use that. Believe it or not, the NSA also has very good advice on securing systems because their job, the National Security Agency's job, is not merely to protect us against to spy on bad guys, but to protect us against incursions from bad guys. So all of the, you ask a really good question. And anybody who's a little bit sophisticated in security will often enter a site and say, whoa, this is bad. For instance, a site that says you can only use 6 letters for a password, things like that. I see it all the time. And, or, you know, there's just a lot of bad practices out there. And when you see them, I think all you, there's no, I don't think there's any legal recourse, not that I know of. There ought to be. Maybe there will be in time. But for now, be the good neighbor and say, and write to them. And, you know, maybe, I wonder if anybody has a letter like that. Write to Brian Krebs, perhaps at Krebs on Security, and say, what do you, actually ask him, what would you say to it? What would you say to an agency that doesn't have good requirements? What would you send them? What would the letter be that would say, here's what you should be considering? Honestly, the best thing they could do is hire a good security guy. And it wouldn't be that expensive. And he would tell you what to do, you know.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, I think that's a great – boy, is that an important question. Thank you for calling and asking. The colleges were Oberlin College in Ohio, Grinnell College in Iowa, Hamilton in New York. Hackers emailed applicants, kids who'd applied to those schools, offering them a chance to buy and view their admissions file, including confidential information like comments from admissions officers and the tentative decision. Because, you know, kids now, I guess, when do they get find out? Have they not already found out? The emails wanted a Bitcoin, although they later dropped that price. All three schools use something that's popular with managing university admissions called Slate. 900 colleges use it, which tells me there's a flaw in Slate, and it's a known flaw, which means those other 897 colleges ought to be thinking about what they need to do. Last week, we heard that Chinese hackers had targeted 24 universities in the United States and other countries to steal research. In fact, while Trump was in Vietnam meeting with Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, the dictator of North Korea, North Korean hackers were actively, very actively penetrating American sites of all kinds. It's going on all the time right now. And I think this should be a clarion call to anybody who is responsible for people's information. Even if it's something as simple as your board scores, your name, your address, your phone number, you have a duty to protect that information as best you can. That means encrypting the passwords, salting and hashing the encryption, so that even if the bad guys got the password database, they wouldn't be able to access it. It means having good policies about logins. It means sanitizing your inputs to your databases. There's all sorts of things. But it's not rocket science. It's not brain surgery. It's well-known security practices. And it worries. It really does worry me because, honestly, this is the next front in warfare, is cyber warfare. The next war won't be, almost certainly won't be fought with artillery and atomic bombs. Let's be grateful for that. But it will be fought with cyber warfare. And, you know, it's one of those things where everybody knows it and nobody's going to do anything about it except that in years from now, we'll say, you know, back in the year 2017, we learned that the Russians had infiltrated malware into most of our electrical grid, but we just kind of brushed it off. Yeah, that's the case, by the way. Just kind of brushed it off. Well, what are you going to do? Except in 2020, open warfare breaks out and our entire electrical grid goes down for days. And you might say, we should have done something back in 2017. We should have thought about that.